Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 65 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. You can visit them at saatchiart.com. I also want to mention the folks at audible.com who gave me my very own Jealous Curator link so that I can offer all of you a free book along with a free 30-day trial, which you can cancel anytime. My new book, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk, is ready for pre-order if you want to get that one, or you can pick something else. Just visit audibletrial.com/jealouscurator to get going. I am really excited for today's episode because I'm talking to Catherine Graffem. That name might sound familiar because I just wrote about her a few weeks ago, not realizing I'd written about her 3 years ago. When I wrote about her the first time, she was a 19-year-old at art school. She was also a boy. Since then, Catherine has made the emotional and very brave transition into a proud trans woman. And her beautiful portrait work reflects that. I cannot wait to talk to her in person, so I will stop talking and we'll call her. Here we go. Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You're awake. You're ready.
Yes, barely.
Yes. Okay, good. Have you had coffee?
No, I'm actually drinking an iced tea right now.
Okay, that's fair.
So I didn't have time to make coffee, so this is already pre-prepared.
Well, at least there's caffeine in it and sugar, so you'll be good.
Yeah.
So I always do this, and I mean, I love your work so much. You're such a talented painter, and you're, well, this is showing my age, but you're crazy young.
I guess so.
You probably don't think you are, because this is the oldest you've ever been. How old are you now?
I just turned 23.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I turned 23, I was like, yep, I'm old now.
Yep, just death is around the corner. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I just turned 43.
That's like so, next year.
I've got a couple of decades on you there. But so, yeah, you're crazy young to me. And the first time I wrote about you, you were still in university, and I couldn't even believe it because your work just looked so, had such maturity to it. And now we're years later, and it's still just getting better and better and better. And so I have lots of questions for you, and but I always like to go back and ask about when you were a kid. So were you that kid that was always drawing stuff, and has it always been portraits, or when did you find the art bug?
I absolutely was not, like, one of those weird art kids. I actually didn't do any art until my senior year of high school.
Oh.
I was a very strange kid, but I grew up in a very sports-oriented family. Like, my dad was my basketball coach.
Yeah.
And my baseball coach. And, like, was my sister, like, at both. Everyone's coach, and like he was like a college basketball player, and
oh,
wow. So was my sister, so it was kind of just expected to go that avenue, and I really hated it.
I was just gonna say, what did you think about that avenue?
I really hated it. So
are you tall?
Yes.
Okay.
And my dad is 6'8", so
what, how tall are you?
I'm 6 feet.
Woohoo. Okay,
but my mom is 4'11". So it's kind of, I kind of got in between those like wide, very like polar opposite heights.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
They must look hilarious together.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's, we look like, and my sister's a little bit shorter than I am. So we kind of just like ramp up in height.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. And so was it just, yeah, you were just expected to play basketball then?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I was pretty good at basketball, but I just hated it. So I stopped doing it when I entered high school, and I was really obsessed with computers. That was like my main thing, was like programming and web design and things like that when I was like 14. And I didn't really leave the house. I didn't have very many friends. I didn't really do anything, and I was like kind of troubled, I guess. But I didn't, I was in a really bad place, and my mom was like, are you even going to graduate high school? Because I was just getting like D's and like doing terribly. And I took a bunch of art classes my senior year because I was like, well, at least it'll like at least it'll be an easy like B or an A. So I took, and I was like sort of a little bit into photography at that point. So I took like three different art classes, and like within a month, my art teacher like sat like I became like in love with it, and my art teacher sat me down and was like, look, I think you should go to art school, but you need to build a portfolio. So if you want to do it, you have to like really, really go for it, and I will help you do this, but like you have to really be dedicated.
Wow.
And yeah, my art teacher in high school like saved my life. Her name's Nancy Cedars, and she pulled me out of the mud and like set me on the right trail. And I built a
Wow.
whole portfolio in like 2 months. And I like never left the art room, and I was there every day. And I this is coming from I led the entire school in tardies. Which I feel like is very reflective of my arrival to this podcast right now. But I led the entire school in tardies. I would skip class probably like twice a day. I was getting detentions like every day.
And did you just not care?
No, I didn't care at all.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, I don't want to be too morbid, but I was like, either I'm not going to graduate high school or I'm going to kill myself before it matters.
Oh.
So, I didn't care at all. And then like art was kind of like, it's so cheesy, but it's like kind of gave me purpose.
Yeah. That's not cheesy at all. That's
And
gives me
just feel like it's
chills.
like that's the narrative like for most people, but it really, really was for me.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like applied to two schools. I applied to Mass Art, and I applied to the New Hampshire Institute of Art, where I ended up going. I didn't get into Mass Art because my grades were so terrible. And then I repealed the denial, and then I got denied again. But then I went to NHA, and yeah, it was great.
And so, when that art teacher pulled you aside, so did you kind of go in thinking like you were just doing photography and stuff? When did you start painting in that senior year?
No, well, yeah,
Ish, like just started playing
we didn't
around with it.
have oil paint. We only had like really terrible acrylic paint. But we had like a printing press, surprisingly, which was weird. And we did have a photo department because it got like shut down when I was in high school because budgets. But so I was like, yeah, I'm just, I'm gonna be like a photo major, and I'm gonna do photo, and like that's what I'm good at. So I didn't really paint. I did drawing. I thought I was okay at drawing, but I wasn't like confident enough to feel like I could major in it. And I hated painting. I hated painting so much. And I go back and visit my high school art teacher, and she always laughs at me because she's like, I knew you were a painter. I knew you were a painter. And I was like, I hated it so much. It was awful.
What did you hate about it? Just it was
I just couldn't,
frustrating?
yeah, it was very frustrating. I just like didn't get it. It just like wasn't clicking. Just like the way that acrylic was working was just not meshing with how I apparently paint.
Yeah.
So I hated painting. I applied to school as a photo major. I switched to illustration in my freshman year, and then I didn't touch oil paint until I think my sophomore year of college.
And then what did you think when you found oil?
It was like it like all clicked. I was like, yep. This is the good stuff. Like I need to do this. And but I was like, oh well, I had a lot of people within the school be like, oh well, you can't make a profession out of being an oil painter. You should stay in illustration and blah 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 and all that like bureaucratic nonsense. of like keeping students within certain departments and all that stuff. It wasn't really about me at all. It was about themselves. But
did you know that at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, I'm gonna switch to painting. And yeah.
Okay, I have two questions about that. So okay, let me quickly jump back. So what did your parents think when they were afraid you weren't gonna graduate and now you're off at art school?
They thought I was going to drop out. They had no belief in me. And honestly, I don't blame them because my track record was terrible. I had like trouble with like the police and I was skipping school and I was like this total mess. And they were like, well, we'll support you, but you know, we're not going to give you any money because you're just going to drop out. So I was kind of on my own in that. And then I came back like after freshman year, like having almost entire, like all A's. Like,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. I knew that I could do it. I was always the kind of person, I still am, where if I'm not interested in something, I'm not going to care and I'm not going to try and I'm not going to apply myself. But when I care about something, it's like, I go all out. So I went all out.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, yeah.
Were they stunned when you came back after that first year?
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were like, okay.
Yeah, something's happening here.
Yeah.
And then, so were you doing portraits when you started with oil? Was it portraits then too?
Yeah, it was actually always self-portraits. I was even doing them in high school. That was like my thing in school. It was like I was the weird kid doing weird, creepy self-portraits.
Well, you know what? I just interviewed Emily Barletta. She does.
Yeah.
Did you hear her?
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like the same thing.
I know. That's not just like, you know, the art room saved her and she said, you know, doing weird, like nude self-portraits of herself. She's like, is that weird? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think that.
I was like, yeah, that was me. I was doing that. And I was the weird kid in the art room because I was being bullied so much. So I was like, I don't want to. Like, I didn't have anyone to really eat lunch with either, so it was like, I'm not going to, like, eat lunch by myself.
In front of everybody.
In front of people, or, like, I feel pathetic doing it, like, under some stairwell or in the bathroom or something, so I'm just going to go in the art room and do my thing.
Were there other art kids in there eating? Like, would Emily have been in there with you, or was it you and the teacher, or what was the deal in there?
I was usually by myself, maybe like one other or two other people. Aww. It was like there was one art room and there was like six different art classes and we would have three different art classes going at the same time at some points.
Oh, okay.
So it was like it wasn't just like an art class. There was like a lot going on.
Right.
But like I would usually be like the only person or like one other person. I timed it so I was usually the only person. So.
Oh my gosh. As a mom, this is like breaking my heart.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I can handle it. Well, I'm so glad that you... Do you eat lunch by yourself now?
No.
Okay,
yeah, good. No. I don't even eat lunch, usually. I don't know. I'm on a weird schedule.
What was university like? Like, what was it like once you started there? Did you find your people?
So, I always tell the story. I'm not sure, like, if it's... okay for the audience? I don't know.
Go for it.
So 10 minutes after my parents dropped me off at college, I was, and I'm not exaggerating, within 10 minutes, I was hanging out in the back of someone's van smoking weed. And I was like, yeah, I think I could do this. I think I'm good. Like, I think, like, I can get along with these people. And I pretty much instantly made friends, I guess. Yeah.
And it's really cool when you go to college because you can kind of reinvent yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. There's none of that high school left. Like, there's nothing that people can remember from, you know, ninth grade or whatever. Like, it's you're just this new person that just shows up and gets in the back of a van, I guess.
Yeah.
And so when you, so you get there, you start to find your people, you find oil paint, and you're just sort of in a groove. And I think I wrote about you when you were... I still had another year to go.
19.
I couldn't believe that. I don't know how I realized that you were that old. Had we written back and forth or something?
Yeah, I think I wrote you something like really angsty and sad or something.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like really angsty. I don't even remember why, but I can't remember at all. But I was like, crap, I probably sounded like a little dweeb. But yeah, it was.
I think you, yeah, you sent me the email then with a link, and the email was so heartbreaking, and I thought, oh God, please let me like this work. Please, 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 please. And I got to your site and I was just like, oh my God, just such beautiful portraits. And those were all self-portraits, I think,
yeah,
that I wrote
really
about.
Were,
yeah. And so, okay, so I want to ask you about portraits. So mm-hmm. I like on your site now, there's lots of other people, but then there's lots of self-portraits. What do you prefer? Yeah. Do you prefer doing self-portraits or other people, or is it the same?
I think self-portraits are more my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I am trying to like kind of not go away from it, but do more portraits that aren't myself in conjunction with doing self-portraits rather than just like almost exclusively self-portraits, because it was getting a little exhausting. But I don't think anyone should look at themselves that much. It's really not healthy. But
Do you do it from photographs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost never work from life.
Yeah.
Almost never.
And so do you find it, like, for the self-portraits, is it, like, I would hate that. I would hate painting myself. Is it is it cathartic for you, or is it painful, or is that the point, or is it a combo?
Definitely a combo.
Yeah.
It really depends on the portrait, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Some portraits I'm just, like, I'm using it as, like, a vehicle to just like slam myself to kind of just like tear myself apart, or I'm using it as a way of like coping, kind of like not in like a broader sense, but like very specifically with like my own image or like my very specific like facial features or like body features, and like working through it. And I think it really did help on both ends to kind of like, it made me more like self-aware, I guess, because it was like, why do I want to do this? Or like, why are these specific poses or like kind of like emaciating my body in like certain ways in like a Francis Bacon-esque kind of manner?
Mm-hmm. Did it make like, you more accepting of yourself or no?
I'm pretty hard on myself. Yeah. So I don't know if there's like the end goal of like acceptance. I don't know how realistic that is. And I think I would need to like, art wouldn't be able to do that. I think that's more of like a accomplishment of growing as a person or like being very self-aware.
But you know, I was thinking about this because when I was running this morning, I was thinking about you and about what we were going to talk about and everything. And I was thinking, see, this is my wisdom. This is my 20 years on you here. that you would think that, because your paintings are so beautiful, they take time, that while you're working on them, are you thinking about other stuff? Or are you kind of like thinking about you and your image? Or are you in autopilot when you're actually painting? Because I'm wondering if it's like that time while you're working on it is almost like self-therapy in a way, like because you're sort of forcing yourself to look at these things. Are you thinking about it while you're working on it or no?
You know, you were talking about the John Cage thing,
yeah,
on the last episode. And I also had John Cage's 10 rules like hanging up in my studio.
You need to meet Emily.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh my God. Like, this, that was another thing. I was like, yeah, John Cage's 10 rules, duh.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, the whole analyzing and doing, I think sometimes I can't separate it. I think it's like nearly impossible. Because like I'm inherently analyzing myself, and myself is the painting. So it's kind of like I'm analyzing the painting, even if I'm not like analyzing the formal aspects, I'm analyzing the content.
Yeah.
Because I am the content.
Yeah. See, that's why I say that would be so painful. Like, I wouldn't want to. I think it's really brave work that you do, because I don't know, like, everything that you've gone through, and I think you, in general, you're so brave.
Eh.
You are, and you're, no. And so is your work. You know, and I.
I. Yeah. I I don't think so. I think I just, like, do my thing. And it just happened to... Well, no, that's not true. I'm not giving myself enough credit for that.
No, you're not.
But it didn't just happen. I worked for it. But I think it also coincided with, like, social change. Yeah. At, like, a really weird time. And I think that kind of, like, amplified it to people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's necessarily brave because it's just, like, I'm just doing, like, sad self-portraits and I would be doing them. You know, like, I feel like Frida Kahlo, I would be doing the same thing, like, Frida Kahlo would be, like, not, like, ever having a show within my own lifetime. I would still be painting.
Right.
Because it's just, like, I can't.
You can't not.
Yeah, it's, like, I grew so much, like, while I was painting, or, like, painting helped me grow so much that it's, like, just, I don't think I could ever stop. Even, yeah. I just took a break recently, for a month about, but even then I'm, like, what am I without painting, exactly?
Yeah, were you just sort of itching to get back?
At first, no.
Yeah.
But at the end I was like, yeah, I need to go back. Like, I need to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's how I am with art too. My husband calls it the art grouchies. If it's been like, if I've taken too long of a break because I'm busy with other stuff or whatever, like I get quite like,
yeah,
bitchy.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, oh, maybe you should go do a collage or something.
And you're like, no.
Yeah. And then as soon as I do, I'm all happy again. So yeah totally.
When I have a good day at the studio, I'm like, yeah, everything's going right. Like, the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Like, all good.
I know, it's euphoric. And then when you have a bad day, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. It's demoralizing.
It is. Like, when you have something in your head and your hand won't do it that day or whatever, it's just, yeah, it's so frustrating. But the important thing is that you just keep showing up and going again.
Yeah. I mean, what's that saying? That's like, you can't, like... Something about, like, you can't make anything good if you're not making anything at all.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah. Totally, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I took a very, very long break, like a decade or so. And I would just think about what I wanted to make. And then I would think it to death and then never get around to doing it because then another idea would come and then I would think and I would think. And if the idea wasn't perfect in my brain, I couldn't waste a canvas on it.
Mm.
You know, and it's just like, oh, okay, that's literally crazy. And so, yeah, I started working on paper that I didn't really care about so that I could do a whole bunch really quick. And it just sort of freed me up to make, you know?
Yeah. I think I was lucky enough to get into painting when I was poor in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had any sort of like preciousness
with
the actual physical object.
Do you paint on canvas?
Hardly ever. I usually hate canvas, but sometimes I'm like, you know what? This specific idea needs to be on canvas.
Wow.
I don't know why.
So what do you paint on?
I paint on wood generally.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. I love painting on wood. It just is perfect for me.
I've painted on wood too. I really like the feeling of it. It's like
smoother
or the way it absorbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, I
hate the texture of canvas, so when I do work on it, I like sand it down quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't like the texture of it. I've never thought to sand it down. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it gets rid of like the bumps on the top. You can't really get rid of the threaded texture because that's just the nature of canvas, but I feel like you can get rid of the bumps that are on top. I had this professor named Sean Beavers, who's like a very traditional realist, and he like filled my brain with like how to do everything very, very properly. And now I just like half-ass that and I'm like good.
I kind of like that, actually. That works for me.
Yeah, I feel like you have to know when you can like cheat things and when not to.
Well, yeah, and I think that does sometimes cause the preciousness.
Yeah.
Right. If you're trying to do everything perfectly and then if it goes awry, then it's upsetting as opposed to like, eh.
I think I work too fast to have anything be precious.
Yeah. I was going to ask that. How fast? Because you do have like, really, I mean, you have loose brush strokes. So how long does it take you to do one piece? Or do you work on it and then leave it and come back?
I'm pretty like when I get this, when I get a specific idea in my head, I need to do it. I like very immediately. I'll take pictures and then just go to the studio immediately after. Mm-hmm. And just like sometimes I'm able to bust it out in one sitting. I would say on average though, I generally work pretty small. For that reason, so I can just like, if something's not working, I can just toss it. And it's like, well, it only wasted a day. It's not that big of a deal. Mm. But each painting is like everything included, including the underdrawing and prep work and all that stuff. I would say maybe 5 to 10 hours.
That's maybe shorter. Nice. Yeah.
But the actual painting part is probably only about 3 hours.
Oh, I can't even imagine sitting in a doing what you do. I have another question. So do you feel like, back to the self-portraits, do you feel like your portraits now, because this is what I think looking at them, but maybe I'm wrong. I think that your portraits now are so much happier than your portraits before you transitioned. Do you think that? Or do you think they're all a little bit sad? I mean, they're definitely... Like, when I wrote about you before, I was like, these are sad, and my heart hurt. I think the first line in my post was, this makes me sad, because they were so, they were so emotional and so sad. You know, it was because of the email that you sent me too, but they were just sad. And then now, they're very emotional, for sure, but they don't feel sad to me. What do you think?
I think before transitioning, I was kind of like aimless.
Yeah.
Especially like, I think I was trying to like pick at the surface of what was wrong.
Did you know what was wrong?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things were wrong. So I don't think, and I don't think my portraits are ever about one thing.
Yeah.
They're usually about a lot of different things. So I don't like to flatten that by just saying, oh, it's about me being like sad and trans and whatever.
Right.
But I think I was like, I was kind of like processing the life if I had before I went to college, and kind of like, figuring that all out, and kind of like after it happens, I'm usually able to more like analyze and like work through it rather than like I'm going through it at the moment. Yeah. So I think I was like partly coping with that part. And I knew that, like, I was like, why do I want to keep painting myself? Like, why does this just, it doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't look right. I don't know, like, exactly why. But I knew that it was, like, there was something underneath, like, the surface. And I think painting was, like, helping me get there.
So and interesting.
And then afterwards, it was kind of like this, like, wave of, like, well, now I'm, like, living the life that I should be living, but dealing with everything that comes with transitioning, everything that comes with being like even more marginalized than I was before, and kind of like walking through life like as a trans woman kind of is a miserable experience, but like finding power in it. And like some days I'll be like, yeah, like I'm super empowered and I feel great. And like, I don't want to let any of this stuff touch me. And certain paintings will reflect that. But then certain days I'm like very much down and very much like feeling up against a wall, or like, it's hard to like see a future for myself. And certain paintings will reflect that as well. And for my senior year, I think that's where the bulk of my like paintings while I was transitioning came from, because I did my entire senior like thesis on like documenting transition, but more in a fine art sense rather than like rather than just pictures, like exploring more of like the emotional side of like transitioning in each step of that rather than like the physical, because the physical is like really not that exciting. But it's like the emotional part that's like interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like watching like myself grow as a person or like work through all those different things and like documenting each part of like what I'm struggling with at that time and like collecting them together and kind of like looking like how I'm growing as a person. I don't know if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. What were your peers and teachers and stuff like in college when you were doing that? Were they supportive? What was that like?
I mean,
or were you kind of feeling like on your own?
Oh, definitely on my own.
Yeah.
At the time, I was the only trans woman at the school.
Mm-hmm.
Or out trans woman, I should say.
Yeah, there you go.
But, so I was the only one kind of dealing with it. And, like, I had a very, like, strong personal connection with a bunch of my teachers. So I think most of them did want to help me and did want to, like, see me through it and, like, you know, be there as a professor to like aid me through my senior year, which is like generally a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So I think they wanted to do that, but they didn't really have like the knowledge or like the vocabulary to understand and like be able to talk me through what I was going through like emotionally or like the content of the work. They were unable to like speak on because they just, it was completely out of their element.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of like, well, crap, I guess I'm like the only one kind of doing this thing, so I better just like figure it out myself.
See, this is what I mean, that I think you're so brave. You have to think that too.
No, I don't.
But you did that, like, and you documented it, and like that's so putting yourself out there on so many levels. Like, senior year in art college is hard enough. Let alone going through that, like making the decision to transition and then making the decision to document it in art, to put it up on a wall. Like, I was nervous enough to put my final year stuff up on a wall, and it certainly didn't have this kind of content. And like, by the end of this, I'm going to make you say that you do believe that you're brave, because I just think
this is going to be a really long podcast.
I'll just keep working on you. We'll have to be doing like shots of tequila by the end.
Yeah,
so that,
oh my
I can
gosh.
Well, I think that you're brave, so I'm just gonna say that. Okay. And then so now, okay, there's one painting I wrote down the title. Mm-hmm. This one made me sad. Did you do this one in college? I guess I'm stuck with me.
Yeah.
Was that in college?
Hold on, let me I know that one was in college, but I can't. Let me.
It's way
like,
at the bottom of your. It's way at the bottom of your site.
Mm-hmm.
And you look so sad in it. And that just the title, like, I guess I'm stuck with me. Is that like a like sad thing, or is it like accepting that you are who you are? And that it was just that one really stuck out to me, and I just wanted to ask you about it.
Hold on. I'm. you know what it is? Okay. I usually do this because I'm an angsty brat at heart. But I usually name my paintings. This is where I differ from Emily Barletta in that. Okay. Yeah. I remember this painting. Okay. Yes. All right. That painting actually got stolen. Side note, which would really make me mad, but
from where?
From my school.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That was end of junior year. That's okay. What it was. And that was like when I was starting to transition, and like that was the first, that was one of the first ones I did in like a, not one of the well, probably one of the first I did like expressing femininity in a self-portrait.
Yeah.
And that was in like, each year my school would have like a annual exhibition where a student would have like one or two pieces, and it would just like fill the school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of them. And I was like, I don't know if I want to put myself out there like that yet. But yeah, that one's really, wow, that one's really sad.
It is really sad. But you put it in that show?
Yeah, yeah.
Hashtag brave. Okay.
But with that one's definitely like, oh, look at me. I'm so sad. I'm so sad and trans. but
that's what you should have titled it.
Yeah, it's after, it's lyrics to a song, which I usually do.
Oh, okay.
Which is like really angsty, but it's an FKA Twigs song. And if anyone knows who that is, they'll probably know the song I'm referencing. I think it's Water Me.
I'm too old.
Yeah, she's like very, very, very much like contemporary right now. That sounded really, that wasn't like a backhanded thing.
No, no, that's fine. I'm in my 40s. That's cool. I don't, you know, I'm wearing mom jeans right now.
Like, she wasn't really popular until kind of recently. And even now she's not like popular by most people's standards. But yeah, most of my things are pretty like named after song lyrics or titles to a song that I'm usually like listening to at that point that like, God, that's so angsty. But like, kind of gets to like the emotional range that I'm working at. Not specifically like the actual content of the work, but kind of just like the mood.
Yep.
Like the one of the more recent ones. That's a anthem for 17-year-old me. That's like a playoff of a song. That's anthem for a 17-year-old girl.
Oh, okay.
And kind of, it kind of just like coincided, and I was listening to that song, or like head high, tears dry is like an Amy Winehouse reference.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Amy Winehouse. Just like, I like making little
cultural nods.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if anyone ever notices them. But.
Well, yeah, they sometimes might and sometimes might not, which works too, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know that from the I guess I'm stuck with me, but it's still like.
Yeah, like it works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it totally
like
works.
It gets to the meat of it.
Yeah, it hits you where it's supposed to hit you, definitely. And so now you're painting, I just wrote about them, and so they're so fantastic, and they just seem, so I guess, is it sort of day to day still? Because they seem a lot happier, well, not happy, but. I don't know, like, I'm...
They're not, like, so brutally heart-ripping.
No, they're not. It feels a little bit more like... There's that one,
I think they're more tender.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's...
Do you think it's the feminine thing, or do you think it's just where you are emotionally?
I think it's probably where I am. Yeah, I think so... Like, my life has gotten a lot better, which I guess isn't that great for my art. But
that's what so many people say.
My life has gotten better. So I think, like, probably the what I'm specifically trying to accomplish in each painting reflects that to some extent. Like, I'm not miserable like I was.
Mm-hmm.
So my paintings aren't quite as miserable.
Do you think that's why you're starting to do portraits of other people now?
I think that was more of like I felt like that was like I was relying on it too much, and it almost felt like gimmicky. Like I didn't want to like just do self-portraits. Like I wanted to just on like a technical level too, like painting your face, painting one single face over and over again isn't like good for expanding like technique and understanding of faces or
right.
structure or anything like that. So I wanted to like expand on that. And I also wanted to, the show I had recently in March, I think it was April, one of those months. That was of other trans women. So I wanted to like, I think there's a lot of like, maybe not so much now, but like there's value in portraits. And I think portraiture kind of dictates who's important enough to have their like painting done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it's a showing of importance mm-hmm. during that time. Maybe not so much now, but up until probably pretty up until photography, kind of it's like, you know, you only had your portrait done if you were rich or important or both. So I think there's still that value on a painted portrait that it signifies importance of the sitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like try to think about that when I'm like deciding who gets painted. It's like, do we need more paintings of like lounging naked women in very like passive poses done by men? No, not really. I think we have enough of those.
Yeah, check. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. I think we're good for all eternity. But I wanted to like flip that and like show that, you know, we're important. Like we're here. Mm-hmm. We're beautiful. We're powerful. Like we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're documenting culture right now.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's not like my specific intent, but I guess.
But you are.
Yeah, I guess yeah. With the way things are right now, I guess so.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said before, like, I think that just happened to, like, coincide with each other. Because I'll let the record show that I came out before Caitlyn Jenner.
That is very important. You weren't inspired by Caitlyn?
I'm Caitlyn Jenner era, so no, not that. It doesn't matter.
Maybe but, she was inspired by you.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Probably not, but.
That's hilarious.
But I also, with the portrait series that I did of other trans women, I also knew almost all of them. So
I was just going like, to ask, like, where did they come from? Because don't you mostly, have something on your site where people can submit photos?
Yeah. I had an open call for models initially, and I didn't really get too many from that. But then I just started asking friends.
Yeah.
And asking friends.
And how did they feel about doing it?
Most of them were like, hell yeah, like, let's do it.
Because they know what a good painter you are, probably.
Like, if you want to do it, you can, but I'm not going to, like, I wanted them to have the agency.
Yeah.
And agency over the specific image or agency over, you know, the pose and the lighting and all that stuff. Because that stuff is really sensitive to people. And, like, me having done a million paintings of myself, like, I knew that it's, like, very vulnerable to get your painting done.
Yeah.
I think because you're, like, you're trusting that this person will render you to a likeness that you can look at.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
It's very vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so do you photograph them then?
Most of the people sent me photographs. I did photograph a couple, but most of the people sent me photographs.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's really, so what are you thinking now? Like, are you, you're still going with self-portraits. You're still, mm-hmm. like, that's not going away.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
But are you continuing then to do other portraits still right now too?
Yeah, I think so. I don't sound very sure about that.
No.
But
well, that's okay. You've got a long career ahead of you. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, I haven't painted in a month. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. But I still really like painting people that are really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Painting relationships is like really important to me. And I don't think I'll ever stop doing self-portraits, but...
I don't think you should. I don't think you should ever stop. Like, it's... Especially since you started at such a crazy time in your life when you were going through so much. It'd just be so interesting, you know, when you do hit 43.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, to, like, just the giant retrospective of it all, just to see, like, what a cool thing to have of yourself. You know, this sort of... I mean, if I could... paint portraits of myself. You know, it's a really cool skill that you have. They're so beautiful. They're so emotional. It's not like you're just painting, here's what I look like today. You can see the emotion in them.
I
would love to see them in 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that'll probably be the case.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be looking at, like, baby pictures of yourself, you know, your
wardrobe.
But I feel that way even, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I'm wondering what kind of, like, what you get, what you see in it. Because you say that you, like, they're very emotive. And,
yeah.
But I'm wondering if there's, like, more to that.
When I look at them, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I didn't realize you had to email me and go, you know you wrote about me 3 years ago,
yeah.
Right?
I didn't think you did.
No, I didn't. I totally didn't piece that together at all. And then I was like, what? And then it all kind of came together. And so before I even knew that, I found you again because we're in a show together in Tasmania, which is so random and crazy.
Yeah, it's very random. That show's been in the making for like a year and a
half.
Yeah,
you've got to get on it.
I know.
So we're in this show called, it's the Polygon Show. Mm-hmm. And we all got, is it 30 women in it? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, this woman in Tasmania is doing it. She sent us all up this polygon shape. What did you get the wood one?
Yeah, I got the wood one.
Yeah. So mine was like, because I did a collage, so mine was this weird metal thing and I had to pull this sticky sheet off and then stick my paper on it. And oh, I'm so not a detail person. I was so scared I was going to wreck it. Oh. But anyway, I did it. But she's been emailing us all for like a year, but I didn't even know who else was in it. And then finally the site's just gone up. So I'll put a link to that in the post, but I went just looking for people to write about and I'm scrolling through seeing, and I was just stunned by how many amazing people are in this show. And you were there. And well, Catherine was there and I was like, ooh, I love these portraits, and I went and saw all your work and I was just gathering them all up. And even then, like, not realizing I'd written about you and not realizing your story and everything, they just kind of gave me chills. And I started from the top, because it's a Tumblr site. I started from the top, and I was just scrolling down. And as I scrolled down and down and down and down, I realized that you, well, I think actually your description even says trans woman at the top, right?
Yeah, it does.
So, but as you scroll down, I don't know, I just kind of got chills as I went down, because you can watch the transition in reverse.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I keep saying you're brave. Like, I was just like, whoa. Like, the emotion that I got was, you can see the sadness start to fade away in reverse, you know? And the portraits now, I think, are so much more beautiful. And there's, like, there's color in them. Like, your older ones were so, like, dark greens and blacks and, you know, and then now there's, like, pink in there and polka dots, and it's just got so much more, like, there's still emotion. Like, you still look sad in some of them, or very introspective anyway. You can tell that you're still thinking about a lot of stuff, but there's, like, levity is not the right word, but there's, like, lightness to them now, as opposed to being so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
From before.
I definitely agree with that. And I think partly that was a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of people being like, you have no color in your paintings. Why is that? I'd be like, yes, I do. It's right there. But I don't think, and now I'm looking at it, like, while I'm doing it, I'm like, there's so much color. What are you talking about? But there's really not. That's really muted. Maybe that's like a psychological thing. But,
yeah. Well, they're really beautiful too, but they were very dark.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I need to have more color. Like, this is.
And how do you feel about putting the color in there more?
It's hard. I had my professor Sean Beavers, who was very, he was the only one to ever, that I felt like never coddled me or never like just kind of like patted me on the back and sent me on my way. It was a live figure model class, which I hated, but he would come around and be like, "Your painting's so dull, like you need more color." And I'd be like, "Okay." And he would come around again in 15 minutes and be like, "Why isn't there any color on your painting?" And I'd be like, "I put the color, the color's on there." And he's like, "No, it's not. I want to see more color. You need to like use color. You're not doing it." And he would be like the only person, he was like my dad, who would be like the only person to push me to use color or to like not get away with, like, he knew what I was trying to get away with when I was like not able to do something well.
Right.
I could like cheat my way out of it by like abstraction or blurring things or not painting certain things. He saw always like right through.
And just called you on it.
Yeah, which was great.
Yeah.
And are so you after still that, I was like, okay, maybe I should really do more color.
Are you still in touch with him at all?
Yes, actually. Yes.
And what does he think of your work now?
He came to my opening recently and he like pretty much started crying.
Oh.
It was his wife is also an amazing painter. Sydney Sparrow. I don't know if you know her.
No, but I'm gonna go look.
She is an amazing realist. Oh my god. And she's an amazing person. But she was my mentor senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had this, like, mom and dad relationship with them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet. They were, yeah, they helped a lot.
That's amazing. That's, right. Like, those are the stories I love hearing about, you know? Just, yeah. That's what teachers are for, is to guide you and push you in a positive way, you know?
Yeah, I would, like, come to Sydney just, like, I don't want to do this anymore. No one understands what I'm trying to do. This is all crap. I'm garbage. I should throw it all away. And she would, like, calm me down and push me in the right direction. And
I love it.
Yeah, I was so thankful.
Well, I got to go look her up. That might.
Oh, my God. She's.
That might be another she's post. Like,
she's, like, jaw-dropping. It's.
It How do you spell so her bad. Name?
Is it it's Sydney, like Sydney.
Yep.
And then Sparrow is in the bird.
Okay, I'm going to go look. Everybody else can go look too. Oh, this is so good. Okay, so the only thing I have left for you is the speed round that's not speedy.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, first one. Would you ever dye your hair pink again?
I'm actually doing it next week.
Are you?
Yes.
I just did the ends of mine, and I don't really like it.
You don't like it?
Not really.
Oh, bummer.
I think it's the wrong pink.
What kind of pink is it?
It's a little too magenta.
Okay.
I'm feeling a little like how do
I
Did
you want
just...
it more pastel?
Yeah.
Oh, well, just give it a couple weeks.
Okay.
I'm like the queen of dyeing hair.
Do you do your whole head?
Yeah. I've had my hair every single color. And my whole senior year was like, I started off with pink hair, and that was like the thing. Like, pink is the saddest color was the name of the show. So I'm like deeply invested in the color pink.
Oh, I love pink too.
Yeah, pink is great. I hated it as a kid. I think it was like an internalized femme phobia thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh wait, no, pink is actually really great.
It is really great. I use it for everything.
Yeah, pinks and reds.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, so you're doing it next week. Okay, well, I'll let you know how this fades out. I just washed it again this morning and gave it a good scrub because I want it to be pastel and it is not.
But the thing is, how much have you ever dyed your hair?
I dye my hair. Well, I haven't dyed it lots of colors, but let's just say I used to be a brunette and now there's so... When I started going gray at 17, I have this big scar on my forehead. I fell when I was... 7 and I got 13 mm-hmm. stitches right at the front of my forehead. And so when I was about 17, I started growing this like white skunk stripe. And so I've been dyeing my hair ever since then to cover that up. And then slowly now my whole head has gone just like, if I left it, I'd have white hair, like white, white. I'm not down with that. I'm not ready to embrace that. Okay. And so I dye it blonde. And so I've always dyed it. And so it was really easy to add the pink because it's already dyed blonde, right?
Yeah.
It just isn't working. I don't know.
The pink, I think the way I always feel about dyeing my hair is when I do it, I'm like, oh my God, this is too bright. And then a month later, I'm like, crap, this is too faded now.
Yeah.
So there's always that like sweet spot.
I know, that's what I've heard about pink. It fades really fast. So you get like a week where you really like it and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to see, because I love the paintings of your hair that are pink.
Yeah, I think about it in relation to my painting. I'm like, this would be really great for painting. Because then I'm like, I'm tired of painting this like black, brown blob.
Like, time to paint some pink hair.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch for that next painting then.
Yes.
Okay, coffee or tea?
Oh, geez. I work in a cafe that specializes in both tea and coffee.
If you had a gun to your head and somebody was like, order your favorite thing right now.
I'd probably get a latte.
Okay.
So espresso, third option.
Okay. Okay, delicious.
Cheated my way out of that.
Okay, so then, follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Who would you want to have a latte with, dead or alive? If you could sit with somebody.
Francis Bacon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wondered when you said that, when you mentioned him earlier.
Francis Bacon is the reason why I paint.
Really? Why?
He was the first. When I saw his paintings, I was like, this is what I want to do.
And where did you see them?
When I was in high school, like senior year. Second semester senior year in high school, when I was like really hating painting and I was like, oh, this sucks. My boyfriend at the time was going to RISD.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, you should watch this documentary about this painter. I think you would. I was like, shut up. And it turns out that, I really like Francis Bacon. He's such like, he's such a jerk, but like if you ever watch interviews with him, he's like, you can tell how much he just screws with people, and I really appreciate that, so I would want to have a conversation with him, yeah.
I would be a fly on the wall for that one. I'd have my soy latte, and I'd be at the next table, and I could
He would be drinking alcohol, though.
Yeah. Put a little something extra in yours, maybe. Just to even it out. Okay, last one. What's your favorite holiday?
I don't know if I have one. I think holidays are stupid.
I thought you were going to say Halloween.
No.
No, well, you're not down with Halloween? I thought with the pink hair that maybe the costume, there'd be some crazy thing going on in Halloween.
Yeah, no, because it feels like when you have, like, crazy hair, it's like, or when you look like a monster like I do, every day's everyone thinks that you're dressed up for Halloween. I really hate most American holidays.
Yeah.
I think they're rooted in, like, really terrible things. That's not really a fun answer, is
no.
it?
No. Well, okay, let's
Can end I with... say my cat's birthday? That should be a holiday, so.
There you go. How old's your cat?
My cat just turned 5.
Oh.
I have a painting of him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go look. What's his name?
His name's Cosmo.
What?
Cosmo.
Okay, well, we'll have Cosmo Day.
Yes.
There we go.
I did a painting of him as Jesus, so.
Oh, sure. That sounds like a holiday right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm putting that one in the post. Is that on your site?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I will go and find it.
Oh, that one's also on display right now in Boston.
So, okay, what's going on? Like, what other shows coming up? Where can people see your stuff?
Yeah. So I have a couple pieces up, including the one of my cat is Jesus, in Boston right now at the Midway Gallery at the Midway Studios on 15 Commercial Center Street, I believe that's the name of it.
Okay.
In Boston. It's like in the South End.
Okay, I'll put a link to it.
Yeah, that one's a queer and disability show. And I am going to be speaking, and also have my work on display at an art festival in Austin, Texas at the end of the September called Gender Unbound. Mm. And that's run by another really great trans woman artist, Drew Riley. Yeah, I'm going to be giving a talk there.
Have you given talks before?
Yes, I've given one lecture before.
And how do you feel about that?
I really like it.
Yeah.
I think I would be a great teacher, but
I bet you would.
It's hard to get teaching positions. So I'll do lectures for now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I gave one at the University of North Florida, in February when I had my show in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Jacksonville.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was great, but also a little saddened because I was like, well, I guess I already peaked. I guess everything now is just downhill from here.
Were you 22 still then?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Peaked at 22. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. My piece was right next to Kiki Smith's and Swoons.
Oh my
so
God.
I was like, yep. All right. This is it. This is the coolest thing that'll ever happen to me.
Or it's just the beginning and you can't even imagine what's ahead of you.
I really can't.
You know what? That's the crazy thing about all of this. Like when my first book came out, when Creative Block came out, I was like, I'm very much a goal-oriented person where I can't even mm-hmm. celebrate the cool thing because I want to know what's next. Like, well, this is nothing. That wasn't a big deal. I wonder, you know, instead of celebrating, right? Well, when Creative mm-hmm. Block came out and my advance copy arrived at my house, I cried and I was like, aww. I'm good. I was like, if nothing else with The Jealous Curator ever happens, I'm good. And I've never felt like that in my whole life. And then another book, and then another book, and then, you know, Oprah's people called, and then I spoke at Pixar. And like, I was saying to my husband on New Year's, we always talk about what we think the next year will hold. And I'm like, and my new book comes out in the fall. And I'm like, I literally, at this point in my life now, I'm like, don't know. I have no idea what's coming next, but I'm just ready for the ride. And
that's
I think
so
that,
awesome, though.
I think that's
most
what you should
people
be like.
In their 40s are like, dang, I wish I did all of these things, or, you know, I still feel like I haven't accomplished what I want.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's
no,
like really-
I feel very happy. I had no problem turning 40 because the book was coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things were happening. And now, you know, crazy things show up in my inbox all the time. I feel so blessed. Like, I love this podcast so much. I kind of can't believe it's my life sometimes. And mm-hmm. now I'm just kind of ready for the ride. Like, and mm-hmm. I think you should be too. I think there's so much ahead of you that you cannot even predict. And I think you would be an amazing teacher. Like, just the experience that you had with that couple, you know, and just seeing how... And even your high school art teacher, like, you know, like you said, it sounds cheesy, but it saved you. And like, just, it's so exciting that you could save other kids.
Yeah, I think know? I would get, I value teaching so much.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's a teacher, my sister's a teacher, and both, like, my grandparents, it's like a family
wow.
thing.
Wow, yeah.
But I've, not just because of that, but because of the experience I had with my high school art teacher and in university, like, I value teachers so much.
Yeah.
And, like, I would not be the same person I am today at all without, like, teachers who really, really genuinely cared. Not just, like, were doing their job, but, like, really, really, really cared.
Yeah, they saw who was standing in front of them.
Yeah, they, mm-hmm. yeah. When a teacher, like, yeah, it's so valuable. I would want to be a teacher, so.
Yeah.
Well, hire
please,
me.
Yeah, please keep me posted on everything. And I'm going to be paying attention and I'm looking for more cats as Jesus pictures on your.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll probably do more.
But
he
yeah,
deserves it.
I'm so happy to finally actually talk to you in person
yes.
and hear your whole amazing story. And I hope me, you know, like blowing sunshine, you know, in the right places is making you realize how important your work is and how, you know, really brave I do think that you are. And I can't wait to see what's ahead of you.
Well, I really appreciate that. I think I get caught up too much in the day-to-day wins and losses of painting to like see the larger scope sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you're also 23.
Yeah. That's probably why. Yeah, it's probably it.
I think back to when I was 23. Oh, and I thought I was so old, and I remember thinking, well, 23. Guess that's about it then.
It feels like everything in your life is already paved out for you from the like mistakes that you've made.
Not even close. My niece is 25 and that's how she's feeling. And it's just like, not even close. My gosh. Like the amount you change between 20 to 30, 30 to 40, you know,
oh, I'm sure.
It's so much. And so that's why I say I'm so excited to watch you because it's going to be great.
That's scary though.
No, it's going to be good. Not you watching me,
but like being like, well, I hope you do. Not in a creepy way, but like
in a pressure way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, just the cool thing is you're kind of, you do you. Like, that's what you've been doing, and you just keep doing it, and if you're genuine and you're being true to yourself, all that's going to come is good. You know, like, that's where, like, if you try and, you know, like you were saying, like, doing everything correctly, like that one, you know, like the prof said, and that's not your style. You cut corners, you do your thing, keep doing that because if you're true to yourself, yeah, only good stuff's going to happen. And I figured that out.
Late to be on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Get yourself an iced tea because you don't have time for a latte. You can go get a latte now, though.
Oh my God, I want a latte so bad.
Yeah, go get one right now. I'm going to go refill my coffee cup too.
What kind of coffee are you drinking? That's just a side note.
What am I drinking?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just at home, so I have a French press, so I just...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just do my coffee, and then I'm a soy girl. I can't have actual...
Yeah, same. Cream.
So I do soy and honey, because I can't have sugar.
I should send you some coffee beans from the cafe.
Oh, from your cafe. Yeah. I will take them.
I will legitimately send you some.
You will?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I've just quit, but I've been a graphic designer by day for the last... 18 years or so. And I rebranded this local roastery in town, and they make great coffee too. So I will send you those beans.
Yeah, please do. We also roast our own beans. So.
Okay, well, we'll have a little coffee exchange.
Yes.
I love this. I should be doing this with everybody.
Yeah, coffee's great. It's the cafe is like the marketplace of ideas.
It is. That's true.
So this is the digital version of the cafe.
Right? That's right. I love it. Okay. Well, I'll get on email and we'll exchange addresses. Yes. And I will talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
A digital cafe. I love that. And yes, I just sent Catherine a bag of beans from my friends Rochelle and Darren at Lone Tree Coffee. I have to give them a shout out because they feed my coffee addiction. They also happen to have a gorgeous logo and beautiful branding, but I might be a little bit biased. Thank you so much to Catherine for everything, including being brave, whether she buys that or not. Thanks, as always, to Saatchi Art for supporting the episode. Oh, and P.S., you can actually buy some of Catherine's work at Saatchi Art. You can look her up there, and I'm also going to include the direct link to her area in my posts, so you can check that out on my site, thejealouscurator.com. Of course, I also want to thank Audible.com for making my new book into an audiobook. Go grab your free book and trial at audibletrial.com/jealouscurator. And of course, great big thanks and a high five to you for listening. There will be more art for your ear next weekend. See you then.